Hello and welcome to the Diz Dads Podcast Midweek Destinations and Diversions Show. It's the Dad Show, your hump day Disney vacation fix for Wednesday, February 10th, 2016. The Dad Show is brought to you by Kingdom Strollers. Kingdom Strollers is Orlando's premium stroller and crib rental vendor. Why pay more for a less comfortable, less versatile stroller in the theme parks? Make your reservation at kingdomstrollers.com. You'll pay less for the rental, and they'll deliver the stroller of your choice to your resort and pick it up from the resort at the end of your vacation for free. Kingdom Strollers, your first choice for Orlando's stroller rentals and an authorized Walt Disney World stroller vendor. Today on the podcast, I'm talking to Mark Harbison about his adults-only long weekend at Walt Disney World back in December. Welcome back to the show, Mark.
Thank you very much. Good to be here.
So this is a little different, right? Where we got you back on the show, and we're not talking about a road trip somewhere in the remotes of the North or Midwest, or somewhere in the desert in the West. And we're not talking about, and then Drew happened.
Right. We're not doing anything quite as insane.
I'm not sure about that yet. It was just you and your wife at Walt Disney World without the kids.
True.
You left them behind and you left them with access to the house.
Well, it's December. We couldn't let them sleep outside for too long, so.
And I guess we're talking, so it means that they did let you back in when you got home.
They did. I was my oldest daughter, my only daughter, I should say. She's my oldest kid. She threatened to change the locks on us numerous times since we dared to go to Disney without them. But in the end, it was an empty threat. So she was probably too cheap to go to Home Depot and do that.
All right, so back us up and talk to us just a minute about how this crazy scheme of you and your wife escaping on an adults-only trip to Walt Disney World came about.
Well, I think if you're a Disney fan, like the Diz Dads or whoever is listening in, I'm assuming you are, then you probably should admit that this has crossed your mind at some point.
Oh, absolutely.
Disney World is our happy place, and we love to go and escape the real world from time to time. And I'm sure as you've been there with your kids forcing you to go on It's a Small World for the fourth time, you've been thinking, it'd be great to be here just me and the wife and skip this one. or if they make you sit through another character meal and you're looking at, in the Contemporary upstairs at California Grill and thinking, I think I'd rather go up there,
Okay.
So the idea was we wanted to go last year because my wife and I both turned 40. She's not going to listen to this, so I can reveal that. And so we had thought, well, if we're both going to hit the milestone, maybe we should give ourselves a gift and go to Disney for a long weekend, just the two of us, and kind of celebrate that way. So we thought that was a great idea. And unfortunately, then we had a baby and he was only about 8 or 9 months old at the time we would have gone and was still nursing. And that was going to kind of mess up the whole idea of going by ourselves. So
sure.
It ended up, getting postponed. It would have stretched the budget too. And then fast forward to this year, and we had a whole bunch of stuff going on this year. One of the big things that happened, unfortunately, was my father-in-law passed away, and that happened over the summer. And my wife is an only child, and her mother had passed 3 years ago. So suddenly we were thrust into dealing with an estate and all his belongings and the inheritance,
sure,
and all that stuff. So So, you know, it was bad news that her father passed, and you know, we were in the mourning and dealing with the estate. The good news was she had an inheritance, and you know, we tried to be responsible and make sure all the debts were paid and all this and that and the other thing. But we both looked at each other and thought, well, we should have a little bit of fun.
Absolutely.
And so that became the impetus to say, okay, this year we're doing it. We're going to go for a long weekend. And
right. And this is found money, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, you know, it wouldn't have normally been in the budget, but since we had that, we thought, okay, well, we've wanted to do this for a while. Let's do it this year. We had always wanted to go in December. We'd never been there to see the holiday decorations and everything they do at Christmas time. So we really wanted to see that. And push came to shove. We said, let's do it. Let's go.
All right. So you finally get a chance to go. You decide you're going to head down in December, you know, specifically so that you can catch the special event decorations and things like that are going on. How long a trip were you able to swing? You say long weekend. What does that end up meaning?
Well, again, I'm sure your listeners are very familiar that we tried to stretch it as far as it would possibly go. And you know, it has to do with the cheapest flights you can find as well.
Right.
But we ended up going, we flew down on a Thursday afternoon. It was December the 10th. And we stayed and stretched it till about Monday afternoon, the 14th.
Okay. So you did. You stretched it to the limits of what we probably could get away with calling a weekend.
Right. And, you know, before the kids would absolutely kill us. So.
Well, that too. And how much advanced planning did you do for this trip? I mean, I know that in some ways when you're traveling with the kids or, you know, the bigger group, you kind of have to do the advanced planning. It's harder to kind of fly by the seat of your pants. But just the two of you, how much and how detailed was your advanced plan?
I'd say I still did what I would normally do. You know, I wasn't planning for an entire week, and we didn't really know we were going a year in advance, so I didn't have everything lined up, you know, like dining reservations at the 6-month mark, et cetera, right. Et cetera. When did we book it? I think we decided to go and booked it in August.
Okay, so you did have at least a few months.
Yeah, we had a few months to plan. So, you know, it wasn't like I was going to get into the most popular places, but I think generally we probably weren't going to eat most of those places except for maybe Be Our Guest.
Right.
And I knew, you know, the only way I was getting in there was if I found a cancellation or something. So okay. Other than that, it really didn't affect me too much, but I tried to make the dining reservations as soon as I could, as soon as we had a reservation.
Okay. So you got those advanced plans in place. What were the must-dos heading into the trip?
Well, I think the goal we had for doing this trip was it's the two of us, it's just adults. Let's try and do as many things as we could that we wouldn't normally do if we were dragging four kids around. So that meant we were concentrating on, you know, trying some new restaurants that we hadn't tried before. You know, my wife and I are not really foodies per se. But there's a few places that, you know, we wanted to try that we wouldn't necessarily have brought the kids.
Right. I mean, foodie or not, there are some places that are enjoyable as an adult that your kids just aren't going to get into.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And then the other thing we really wanted to do was to try one of the behind the scenes tours, which are restricted.
Yeah, right. You've got to be over 16.
Right. So, those were two of the big things that we wanted to concentrate on and make sure we had time to do. And then other than that, you know, you only have, what was it? I think we had 3 full days plus another half day. We ended up getting 4-day park hoppers. And the idea was just to enjoy the Christmas decorations, see the parks, and just have as much fun as we could before we had to go back home.
All right. So where were you staying?
We ended up staying at the Polynesian.
Very nice.
Again, bit of a splurge. they did have a hotel room discount that came out, so I played with that and was able to get a room there. We stayed in one of the new DVC studios at the Polynesian.
Yeah, it ended up. I saw that deal came out. It was a really good deal.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it was, what, 30% off or something like that? So
30 or 35. Yeah, Paul Hodger, I think, stayed in those rooms on that same deal.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so that worked out well, and for whatever reason, it priced better there than it did in the regular hotel rooms at the Polynesian, so we jumped in there. The kids did restrict us. Excuse me. Our favorite resorts on property are the Animal Kingdom Lodge and the Wilderness Lodge. And the kids said, absolutely not. You cannot stay at either of those places.
Okay. Well, that's an interesting concession. So you gave them a little veto authority here that there were a few things that were sacrosanct, and one of them was their favorite resorts.
Yeah, pretty much. So we said, oh, darn, now we'll have to stay at the Polynesian. So. Okay. It really hurt to do.
Gosh, such a crushing blow.
Yeah. So we really sacrificed for it.
All right. So talk a little bit, just very briefly, about travel. You know, it must have been a whole different ball game traveling just the two of you to Walt Disney World instead of, you know, with the entire brood in tow.
Oh, man. You forget how easy life is when you're not hauling a stroller around. I mean, just the going from the baggage claim, or where you check your bags at the airport, and the security line, not having to deal with a stroller and all these kids hauling bags was just glorious. And the same thing, once you get to Disney, you're just hopping right on the bus. You don't have to fold anything up. You don't have to hold it on your lap or, haul three kids with you and find places for them. It's just, you hop on and you go. So that was wonderful. I think my wife at some point during the trip was like, I don't know if I can come back with a stroller now.
All right. Well, so, you better get the toddler working out.
Yeah, I guess so. I think he's going to win out, though, because sooner or later we're going to say, oh, he's got to have his first trip to Disney. So we'll gladly go through it all eventually.
I'm sure you will. Okay, so travel is a whole new experience. You get in, you check in at Polynesian. What was your impression of the new rooms?
They were nice, very nice. Comfortable rooms, really nicely decorated. The beds were comfortable. They had a lot of nice touches. They had the new Murphy bed that's under the TV that you fold down. It's got a little drawing of Lilo and Stitch over it, sleeping in a hammock. That's really cute.
And your wife only made you sleep in the hideaway bed once or twice, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, at least I was still in the same room, so. So anyway, they're great rooms. We found out when we checked in, I did the online check-in. That was the first time I tried that. This was also our first trip experiencing the Magic Bands.
Okay. Yeah.
And that whole system.
So what was your takeaway? I'm going to have to catch you there because I'd forgotten that you all hadn't used Magic Bands yet. And this is a big shift for people who have been frequently before and, have this new, it's not just the technology, right? It's the kind of way of doing things gets changed a bit. So what was your feeling about, Magic Bands and how they affected the elements of your trip?
Well, it's, I'd say there's pluses and minuses. I think in certain instances, it's very convenient that, we got there, we got off the bus, they threw Lays around our necks, and I didn't go to the front desk at all because I'd already gotten a text saying, your room is ready, you're in room such and such, and you can proceed straight there.
Right,
so
right. That's
pretty cool. Not having to, at the airport, dig through my bag for the vouchers to get on the Magical Express bus was nice. Going into the parks was fine. Just again, not having to dig in my pockets for the tickets or whatever, and just scanning the band. I liked the convenience of that.
Right. Yeah.
I think the downside for me was in terms of the fast passes. When you reserve your three rides a day, especially for us, we were going during a weekend in December, which generally I think December is supposed to be a decent time to visit, but I knew the weekends would be more crowded with all the local residents that come into the parks.
Right, right.
And so I was expecting crowds, and so I made sure I got my ride reservations done for the fast passes and all. And what we found was the way the schedule worked out, I had to be in the Magic Kingdom on a Saturday that was not having a Christmas party night.
Okay, and, right, yeah, because you get into that December time frame and Magic Kingdom becomes dominated by those Christmas parties.
Yes. And so, you know, from reading online, I know that rule number one is don't go to the Magic Kingdom on Saturday with a non-Christmas party night. But
well, true, because that's a real problem, right? Because you got a lot of people who are you know, there's a lot of pent-up demand for the Magic Kingdom at that point, because when they get in that sort of mid-December time frame and they're running, you know, three or four Halloween parties a week, yeah, there's just so few nights when the Magic Kingdom is available past 7 p.m.
Right. Yep. And that's the way it works out. So I kind of went in knowing that day was going to be crowded, and sure enough, it was crowded. And that was also the day when we were doing our behind the scenes tour. So I couldn't even use rope drop strategy because, you know, we were on the tour all morning.
Yeah.
And the way it worked out, I think my wife and I talked and we said, okay, so with the new FastPass system, when you make your three FastPass reservations, if you know the park is going to be crowded, then basically what it turns into is pick the three things you want to do today and then good luck.
Okay.
And that's kind of how it worked out. It was, you know, we had three reservations we made, and then anything else all day was 30 minute, 40 minute, 50 minute waits. You know, the big rides, Space Mountain was, you know, 80 minutes, you know, something like that. So no matter what you picked, you were going to be waiting for it.
Yeah.
So that was a little bit of a downside, I think, for me, just because I knew the paper FastPass system. And we had kind of become expert at maximizing it, at, you know, one guy being the runner and being able to get multiple rides in on the big attractions.
Sure.
Even on a crowded day.
Right.
And now that ability is taken away somewhat.
Well, now let me offer you an alternative thought here, though, right?
Okay.
You'd already scheduled that tour for the morning.
Mm-hmm.
So your you know, FastPass runner was going to be useless all morning anyway.
Yes.
And with the new system, at least you could go ahead and make three FastPass reservations all for after your tour was done.
Mm-hmm.
And you knew when they would be, and you knew that they would be, you know, post-tour time. Right. Whereas if it's that crowded and the first time your runner is going to be able to go grab a FastPass is after your tour is over,
mm-hmm,
that first FastPass return time may not be for several hours.
True.
So I think it kind of balances a little bit, but I understand what you're saying. I just think that people sometimes forget about the sort of the second half of the trade-off, which, mm-hmm, is that there is that opportunity to upfront make that first fast pass return time and then second and third, you, mm-hmm, know, for a little bit later in the day so that you're not, you know, in the position of being behind the crowd wave all day if you get, right, to the park late.
Yeah.
Or,
yeah,
if you have another event in the morning like you had the tour.
Right, right. So at least we had that. And you can still do – we kind of knocked out some of the more secondary attractions. I mean, some of them, you know, I don't care if I do or not. But I think it was at that point we were like, well, we might as well do something. Let's do this.
Okay. Well, yeah, I can see that.
And it also, it worked the same way the day before. Our first day was in Epcot. And again, we had our three reservations. We were there all day. And by the time our fast passes were done, then the rest of the day, there were long waits everywhere. And we didn't feel like waiting in some of those lines. So it got to be more of, do you really want to do that? No, not really. Let's just go to the World Showcase and look at the shops or something.
Yeah. Now, did you at any point use the kiosks to try to make additional fast passes for later in the day?
I ended up not doing that. I think it ran into some of our dinner reservation times, and we also wanted to make sure we saw the nighttime shows since they had their special, you know, holiday tags versions, or whatever. So I didn't want to run the risk of getting a late fast pass and having that conflict with something.
Right. All right. So let's talk a little bit more then about your experiences in the parks. Now, did you manage to visit all four parks?
We did. Yes.
Yeah, all right.
We did.
So rather
than Epcot on Friday, we did Magic Kingdom Saturday because that was our tour day. Sunday was morning in Animal Kingdom and evening in Hollywood Studios. And then Monday, the day we left, we did Magic Kingdom in the morning and then hopped over to Epcot for a Cronut before we left. So
Okay.
Because you got to have a Cronut.
Of course. Well, let's kind of go through and see what the highlights of each of the parks were rather than kind of trying to follow your touring plan. And why don't we start, where you started? You said you started in Epcot. So what were the highlights of the experience in Epcot, or really even just the things that stood out the most? I mean, occasionally there's a low light that stands out and we like to kind of make people aware when those situations are there. So, what were the standout moments of the Epcot experience?
Well, I think we had a real nice day there. We tried to try to see some things we hadn't seen yet. So we did. The last time we rode Test Track, it was the older version where you're actually doing a test drive in a car and not the Tron track. So we had to try that out.
What did you think of the design phase? I it's intriguing to me to hear what an engineer's thought of the design phase of the attraction is.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up because being a trained engineer, I not only have a bachelor's, but I have a master's degree in engineering, and I've been working in that field for 17 years. And I learned that I design really crappy cars. But that was actually the design part was pretty fun. I enjoyed, we tried that on purpose because we'd never seen it. So we went through the regular line so we could design a car.
Yeah.
And we enjoyed that. The only problem was it goes so fast that you really don't have a whole lot of time to think about your choices and how it's going to work. You're just kind of slapping things on there. We started by trying to get something balanced between all the categories. And I think by the end, as clock was ticking, we just started slapping random stuff on the car just because. And so it ended up that our car just sucked. But nevertheless, that was pretty fun. And I think we agreed next time we're just going big and putting the plasma burner engine in there. So.
Well, yeah, I mean, isn't that every guy's dream to be able to run a car with a plasma burner?
I would say so, yeah. I don't have any evidence to the contrary.
All right, so were there a couple other things about the experience there at Epcot that stand out at all in your mind?
Let's see here. We tried the beer garden for the first time. Ate lunch there.
Yeah.
And enjoyed that quite a bit. The only thing that that bothered me there was I was really looking forward to apple strudel for lunch, for the dessert, I mean, excuse me.
Right.
And it was chock full of raisins, and I hate raisins. So that was just...
Well, now, wait, this was, sort of a celebration trip, and your wife didn't gift you with, the careful excising of raisins from your strudel?
No. It was more like, just eat your strudel and quit complaining. So I picked them all out myself.
Now, what did you think of the experience there overall? Is it a place that you might consider going back with the kids?
Yeah, I think I would. I think there's enough there that the kids would be familiar with and eat. We enjoyed the food there. They had the band, playing every so often, so that was fun. I think the only downside was that it's real hard to hear your conversations at the table when those guys are going.
Right.
But with the kids there, that wouldn't matter anyway. So
might be a positive.
Right.
All right.
Yeah, it's a good place.
So let's go ahead and hop a friendship boat. and head next door, unless you've got something else you want to mention about Epcot.
We did most of the normal stuff. They had Living with the Land, the boat ride. They had some Christmas decorations out on the plants, which was cute. They had some singing and some shows going on for Christmas. We had dinner at the new Trattoria Al Forno on the boardwalk. We walked over there that night. And that was pretty good as well. I went with my standard chicken parmesan because that's what I do at Italian places.
Okay.
And I will refrain from singing the Peyton Manning song, but we enjoyed that as well. I'm one of those people, you know, this might disqualify my credits for some of the people listening, but I've never had a bad meal at Disney. I don't really find anything to complain about. You know, some are mediocre and I don't feel the need to go back, and some are really outstanding, but I can't say I've ever had a bad one. So,
All right. Well, that's fine. I mean, not bad is better than bad.
Right.
But I guess the question is, have you had meals that you would qualify as outstanding?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. So as long as you can tell us when the outstanding ones come up. Mm-hmm. We'll be able to, you know, credit that with the authority it's due.
Oh. I'm sure everyone's waiting on the edge of their seats.
That's right.
Only other thing I'll say about Epcot was the Illuminations. They have an extra ending that they put on the show for the holidays.
Right.
And that was pretty cool. We were glad we stayed for that. It added extra pyrotechnics, so that's always a good thing.
More fire is always good.
Yes. Rule number one.
Okay. So let's go ahead and hop that friendship boat then and head on over to Hollywood Studios. Mm-hmm. And being there in sort of that mid-December time frame, you were there sort of just as a lot of Hollywood Studios attractions were kind of coming down to start making way for renovations there. But at least the launch bay, I think, had at least some of it had opened by December. Mm-hmm. So what was the experience at Hollywood Studios like sort of in general?
Well, it was a little crowded, and I think because the Osborne lights were announced that this was the last year for them.
Right.
It seemed like people were packing into the park to see them one last time. I had heard, I think one of the cast members said something like they had never seen it as crowded as it was Friday night when we were there. So it just made us happy we weren't there Friday night. I think that we were there, Sunday night, and it didn't seem quite as bad then, although the streets of New York where the lights actually were definitely jam-packed with people. You had to just walk slowly to get anywhere there. But the lights were really impressive. We're glad we saw them.
You know, sure.
We had never seen them before, and so we're glad we snuck in to see that. It was really a neat display, especially when they timed into music. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, once they start dancing, it really is impressive.
Yeah. So that was cool. Let's see. We spent some time doing Star Tours because I knew they had added a new scene to reflect the opening of the new movie. And that was definitely enjoyable. It showed me a move I'd never seen the Millennium Falcon do before. And then once I saw the movie, I understood better. So,
okay.
It was neat that they tied it in that way.
Right, right.
The only downside is I have never once seen the Darth Vader scene on Star Tours.
Oh, wow. And because they were highlighting those scenes from the new film, you weren't going to see it this time.
Yeah, well, I think it's at the beginning, you know, when you're leaving leaving the hangar. And I know it's randomized, so I think it still could pop up.
Right, right.
And, you know, I had ridden it like 3 or 4 times in the past and never gotten that scene. And a couple of years ago when we were in Disneyland, we had to do the child swap with the baby. And of course, when my kids rode it with my wife, they got the Vader scene. And so they've been giving me crap about it ever since.
Oh, because you're the only one who hasn't seen it.
Yeah. So we went this time and rode it twice more, once for the fast pass and once we waded through the line. And I still have never seen the Vader scene. So at this point, I'm not convinced it actually exists.
I was going to say, maybe they're just lying to you.
Yeah.
I'm not going to step in and ruin it. Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't.
Okay. Fair enough. I just have to go back and try again.
Right. Okay, so Hollywood Studios, you know, some good new stuff from Launch Bay. You got a chance to see the Osborne Lights one last time. Park was still pretty crowded. Anything else about the park experience that stood out? Maybe any, you know, dining in the park one way or the other, or any other attractions stand out?
Let's see here. Launch Bay, we didn't do a whole lot of, again, because we only had half a day, and I thought, well, a lot of this is just going to be a commercial for the new movie, and I'm already sold, so
right.
I wasn't too worried about that. We did hop in the gift shop there just to laugh at some of the prices at the items. And,
I mean, you didn't get yourself a 40th birthday present of a, you know, a full Stormtrooper suit?
As tempting as that was, no, the only thing I was really tempted for was the lightsaber umbrella.
Yeah, those are pretty cool.
I thought that would have been neat, but that was still something like 60 or 70 bucks a pop, so we thought, eh, I don't need it that bad.
Not that cool.
No. So we, the dining we ate at the 50s Primetime, which that was the only restaurant we did on this trip that we had previously tried, but that one's a favorite. We love that place.
Yeah.
So
just had a great experience myself there in January. So
did you?
Yeah.
Excellent.
So what'd you have?
I get the fried chicken there.
Yeah.
Because the fried Always chicken's good. Just terrific.
Yeah, reliably good.
Yeah. And my wife highly recommends the peanut butter and jelly milkshake, which I tasted it. It's basically a peanut butter milkshake.
Okay.
I don't.
Just a little jelly in there, huh?
I'm sorry?
Just a little jelly flavor in there.
Yeah, I couldn't even taste it, so I'll assume it. Sure, it's like Darth Vader. Does it really exist?
Okay.
So she also got the sampler, which she loved everything on it. I think it's pot roast and meatloaf and fried chicken. So
yeah, that's what I got.
Yeah,
wanted to try just a little bit of everything.
Yeah, it's not a light meal.
No, it's not. All right. So Hollywood Studios, and you only spent a half day there. So which park did you share your half day at Hollywood Studios with?
Animal Kingdom. We did that in the morning.
Okay. So talk about the highlights of your Animal Kingdom morning.
I think that was our least crowded morning, which was very enjoyable. And it seems the least affected by the holidays. You know, they have the big tree out front and they have some decorations here and there. But other than that, they seem to run fairly normally. So I don't know if that affects the crowds. But it felt a little bit less hectic when we were there, which was nice. Let's see. We did the safari, I think, is much improved without the dumb poaching storyline. Which nobody paid attention to.
I agree.
So it was nice just to concentrate on the animals and not worry about fake poachers, which is good. What else did we do? That was my first experience with the single rider line, because we headed for Expedition Everest first thing, and it was down when we got there. All these people were coming the other way.
Oh, okay.
So then we went to the safari, and then when we came back, it was already, I think, posted a 30-minute wait.
Right. Yeah, see, that's the downside, is that whenever Everest goes down, it backs up in a hurry.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and I kind of dreaded that was going to happen, because I was sitting there looking at the clock like, oh, we only have a half day, and it's going to get packed. And, you know, so we went back over, and I suggested the single rider line to my wife, and she was like, well, I don't want to ride if I'm not next to you. And I was like, well, I don't want to be here and not ride Everest. So she went and took the camera and decided to do the Asia Trail. And then I tried the single rider line. And we agreed we'd meet in the Everest gift shop afterwards.
Okay.
So she went off to the trail. And I think she had barely started on the trail when I texted her. And I was like, done.
On my way. Catch you on the trail.
Yeah. So that was fantastic. I love just getting right on.
Yeah. That Everest, it always surprises me that the Everest single rider line, you know, does seem to move so quickly. I mean, it's 2x2, so you would think that it would be relatively easy to fill, but you know, they do seem to pull from that single rider line quite a bit.
Yeah, I was surprised. It seemed like you'd get a good 3 to 4 people on every train.
Yeah, at least.
Single rider line.
Yeah.
So it was nice to work that to my advantage. Only other standout is we made sure we ate at Flame Tree Barbecue, which I think is still probably the best counter service place in the parks. Love that place.
Yeah, yeah, it's good stuff. Mm-hmm. And what did you have?
I got the pulled pork sandwich.
Yum.
Yeah, I'm getting hungry just thinking about it. It's good stuff. So we never missed that place. Between the food and the outdoor seating area with the view of Everest there, it's just such a great spot.
Yeah, it really is. And I think the view is getting even better because as they finish up the construction there along the riverfront, to get prepared for Rivers of Light, it's going to be even more sort of cool, interesting stuff to be looking at as you're eating there on that kind of porch area.
Yeah, and they had it. We could actually see all the construction going on. It looked like it was substantially done, which I guess we should hope so at this point, since it's supposed to open this year.
Yeah, I mean, it seems to be getting there. You know, it looked, because I guess the last time I didn't get a good look at it from that perspective in January. The last look I'd gotten at it would have been back in June.
Okay.
And at that point, you could see, I mean, they were working on the stuff in the water at that point, right? So they had platforms out in the water, and they were clearly running pipe and things for fountains or other water features of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
I presume that's probably done, and they're just working in the seating areas at this point.
That's how it appeared, yeah. I didn't see anything in the water. It looked like everybody was just up on the seating area working on the stands.
Cool.
So yeah, it must be getting close.
Well, yeah, there are rumors, supposedly maybe March. My money is still that they're going to open it, you know, they're going to stick with the Animal Kingdom tradition, right, and that they'll open it on Earth Day in April.
Okay, yeah.
But, I could also see them going ahead and soft opening in mid-March so that they can run it for a month and make sure the thing works before they do a grand opening on Earth Day.
Sure. Would make sense. Yep, that's how they do things.
Yeah. All right, so the only thing we haven't talked about park-wise yet is the Magic Kingdom. So let's mm-hmm. round ourselves back to the Magic Kingdom. I know that that's kind of the main event here. So, talk about Magic Kingdom. It was crowded because it was one of those few Saturdays where there wasn't a holiday party,
mm-hmm.
a Mickey's Very Merry Christmas party. So what were the things that stood out in your mind about your day in the Magic Kingdom?
Well, one thing with the tour is we wanted to try and get in early before they officially opened it to get some of those, you know, the photos people get on an empty Main Street.
Right, right. The pre-rope drop breakfast photos.
Yeah, exactly.
Pre-rope drop breakfast.
Right. So we had wanted to try that. And then, so I booked the earliest tour, which was 8:30. And then I looked later about a month before we left and they had changed the park hours. So the park was opening at 8 o'clock. I was like, oh, come on.
Oh, man.
So my wife and I thought, well, let's get up early and get there, you know, insanely early for the tour and see if we can get in before then anyway. So we tried it and it actually worked. Since we were on the list for the tour, they let us in early.
Okay.
So we got there and I think just as we walked under the gates, they started the opening show with the train and everything.
Yeah.
So we wandered down Main Street. We found the photo pass people and took some pictures. And then we went a little bit further to get closer to the castle to try and get it with relatively few people. And by that time, they had opened the gates for the park. And so we found this photo pass guy. And we were like, hey, can he take our picture in front of the castle? And he turned and saw this mass of people coming in. And the poor guy, he's like, well, I got about 10 seconds, so I'm just going to use your camera. And if you want one with mine, you can come back later. So he just fired away.
I'll do it quick, and then I got to dodge.
Yeah, pretty much. But, you know, plus one for him, because he did what we wanted him to do. So it was good customer service. the tour was very cool. It was highly recommended. We did the Keys to the Kingdom tour.
Okay, so
and yeah, it's about
tell us about that tour, because I've had some people actually recently asking me about it.
Okay, well, it's about 5 hours long, and you are going to do walking, so you got to be ready for that. Basically, it's telling you a lot of the history of the park. They take you down Main Street and point out some of the design features and talk about some of the names on the windows and what they mean to Disney World's history. So you learn a lot about that, which if you're a Disney geek, it's all very interesting. I'd say, you know, some of it is going to be stuff that you've heard before. If you've had any interest in the parks, then you've probably picked it up along the way.
Right, right.
You know, but some of it is new as well. From there, they take you through Adventureland, and I thought the tour guide was real interesting. She said that she basically viewed Adventureland as you walk, as basically a walk through the history of animatronics.
Okay.
Because you start with Swiss Family Treehouse, which has none.
Okay.
And then you go to Jungle Cruise, which is all operated on pneumatics. And then you get to the Tiki Room, which I think is like the next generation of the animatronics, which is more. And then you get to Pirates, which is all, you know, hydraulics and fully animated people.
Right.
So it's
right.
Kind of going through the whole history of the development of these animatronics. And I thought that was a neat way to look at it.
Very cool. And what was it in terms of? I guess the question is, did you get some sort of, benefits in terms of rides without lines or any of that kind of thing for doing the tour?
Yeah, there's a few things you get. We basically got two rides without lines. We got to get on the Jungle Cruise, and they just take you right in. Kind of through the exit, and you get right up to the front with the boats, and they just commandeer a boat, and you get on, and then the tour guide takes over the PA system and just kind of explains some of the history of the ride to you. She points out different features like the hidden Mickeys, or some of the tikis are meant to represent Mickey, Donald, and Goofy.
Right.
She shows the face of the one guy climbing the pole from the Rhino, and points out how similar his face is to the guy in the Haunted Mansion. And
oh, okay. Interesting. All right. Those are some nice little details. And,
right,
and so it sounds like basically your skipper role gets taken over by your tour guide.
Yes.
All right.
Yes. So you get to ride that, and then you get to go behind the scenes right about where the parade entrance is next to Splash Mountain. So you get to walk behind the curtain there and see where they store the parade floats for the parade. They point out where the ride buildings are. It's interesting to see how close Pirates of the Caribbean is to Splash Mountain in terms
right.
of the distance behind the scenes.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you wouldn't think of it looking at where the entrances are in the parks.
Right, right. Well, yeah, I mean, we had a similar discussion not too long ago about the new Jungle Cruise Skipper's Canteen restaurant that opened in Adventureland Veranda, and the fact that it actually shares a kitchen with Liberty Tree Tavern.
Oh, okay.
And it's another one of those that it doesn't immediately make sense, but then if you stop and kind of really think about it, it's like, oh, okay, yeah. They do back up to each other.
Right, right. Yeah, Google Earth kind of ruins some of those secrets, I guess, but... You can look at it, oh, wow, that is, yeah, it's right there. So going behind the scenes is pretty cool. And the tour guide is very stern. You're not supposed to take pictures anywhere during the tour. I don't think they care if you're in the park riding Jungle Cruise, but they'll specifically say, once you cross behind the scenes, please don't get me fired.
Right.
No photos. Lunch is provided. You get to eat lunch at the Columbia Harbor House. So it's basically you choose your what you want for lunch when you start the tour. They have a menu out at the beginning of the tour.
Okay.
So if you've ever been to Columbia Harbor House, then you know your choices are fish, or chicken nuggets.
So. Or shrimp.
Right, fish.
So. Okay. Seafood, yes.
You do get to ride the Haunted Mansion again with no lines. And that one, the tour guide just lets you ride it and enjoy it. There's no spiel or talk about that one, but she gives you some things to look for inside the ride.
Okay.
And that's a lot of fun. And then the last thing you do is you walk back down close to Main Street where the Crystal Palace restaurant is, and you go behind the scenes again there. And again, they kind of point out the layout of the park, how close the Jungle Cruise actually goes to Main Street on the boats.
Oh, interesting.
And then you get to go down into the Utilidors, the tunnels under Main Street, and kind of walk around there and see how the operation is handled under there. So, you know, it's funny, they take you down and it's just this utilitarian space of just drywall and dingy fluorescent lighting, you know. And like, so what do you think? And I was like, oh, it's magical, you know. But it's like any other workplace, you know, and you appreciate the lengths they go to hide that thing from the paying customer. It's still very interesting how it's all thought out and organized and laid out to be as efficient of an operation as possible. And that's one of the things that's always fascinated me about Disney World, is just how an organization and an operation that's so massive can be so smoothly run and so efficient.
Yeah, it really is pretty amazing. And so I guess that what that does is beg the question, you know, looking back at the tour itself, what were a couple of the things that maybe were the most impressive or most surprising to you that you learned from this tour?
I should have prepared more and thought back over it, because well, obviously the part about the animatronics really stuck in my mind. Just the way she was talking about that. I thought that was a neat story.
Right.
We got to go and peek over at the Splash Mountain building behind the scenes, and you could see where the water was pouring out and being recycled underneath the building. That was really cool, because it's just gushing down there, and I forget how many gallons per minute runs through the thing, but it's a lot.
Yeah. That to me strikes me as something that, you know, for a municipal engineer geek, it was right up your particular geek alley.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And I think they said it took about 45 minutes to drain the entire ride, something like that. So, yeah, that was interesting stuff. Some of the history was neat too. Just, you know, they pointed out with the animatronics that they have about 30 different faces that they can use on the people. And so that's why you see the same guy on the Jungle Cruise as you do at the Haunted Mansion.
Because they
can dress them up, they can put facial hair or different costumes and on, but, you know, a lot of them are the same faces. So that was interesting.
Yeah. All right. So anything that was your morning was on your tour, the tour, what kind of tour, lunch, more tour, or tour and then lunch wraps things up?
No, there's more tour. We didn't get downstairs in the tunnels until after lunch. That was probably the last part. And then they bring you out on Main Street and you finish there. Okay. So that's probably about 1:30-ish that you finish.
All right. So what was on the agenda for the rest of your day post-tour?
Well, we had a fast pass for the Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, because we hadn't tried that yet. We hadn't seen the new addition to Fantasyland. So we got to do that. I think the wait was posted at 100 minutes when we got there. So we were thankful that we had a fast pass.
Oh, yeah.
And so we rode the ride, and it was fun. We thought it was a nice little warm-up ride for the family if your kids are unsure of coasters, that sort of thing. It's an enjoyable ride. If I had waited 100 minutes for that, I would have been upset. So we rode it and it's done. And, you know, about a minute and a half, and you're like, that's it. It's over pretty quickly.
Yes, it is.
And I can see why. I mean, they were governed by the available space they had for the ride. So you had to kind of cram in what you could.
Right.
But yeah, for a very short ride, I would not wait 100 minutes for it. With a fast pass, it's great.
Yeah, I would agree.
We had a bit of a delay. I think that's part of the reason why we couldn't do anything in the park was that a couple of our fast passes were in the evening. The one thing I did was I made one for I used one on Wishes for the viewing area.
Oh, okay.
And the reason for that, normally I wouldn't do that if I had a full day in the parks, but since it was a half day and I figured it was going to be crowded, I thought, well, I don't want to have to use further time and stake out a spot an hour and a half before the show starts, so I'll just
right
burn one there. And then the other one, I'm sorry?
That makes sense. I mean, you had a specific need here that you were trying to address with the fast pass for the fireworks.
Right. And the other thing I knew was that I was going to be back in the Magic Kingdom on Monday morning, so I didn't feel as bad about using it there.
Right.
And then my wife had never ridden Big Thunder Mountain at night, so I made sure I got a reservation for that so she could experience it at night. So most of the afternoon was spent just kind of doing some of the secondary attractions, like the Monsters, Inc. laugh floor we did. The People Mover is always good if you're in a pinch, you know, that sort of thing.
Right.
So we did a lot of that. We left and went to the Yachtsman Steakhouse for dinner that night.
Oh, wow. So you had a bit of a stretch because you were in the Magic Kingdom. You went all the way over to Epcot, Epcot area for dinner. And then you were going to head back to the Magic Kingdom for fireworks. I guess it's a good thing the park was open late that night.
Yes. Yeah. That was like I said, even without the kids, you have to plan. So I made sure all the times worked.
Yeah. All right. So let's do this in segments. You said you did a bunch of secondary attractions in the sort of middle part of the day. Anything about that experience that stands out for you other than maybe the wait times being a little longer than you expected?
I can't say that it really stands out other than we were just a little grumpy that we really didn't see too many opportunities to get on some of the better rides. It was just crowds everywhere. And so, you know, knowing I had my last fast passes waiting that night meant that, you know, we were just there trying to pick and choose whatever we thought was a tolerable wait and do whatever we could. So,
sure.
You know, it's crowded and that's what you have to deal with. So it kind of comes with the territory.
Sure. All right. So when you're heading across to Yachtsman for dinner, what do you do transportation-wise for Magic Kingdom? How did you address that one?
We just ended up leaving and going and getting the bus for the Yacht Club. We didn't do anything fancy there.
Oh, okay. Makes a lot of sense. That's the easiest way to do it. So bus from Magic Kingdom over to Yacht Club and talk about your experience at Yachtsman a little bit.
Well, I'd never eaten there before, and that was kind of our fancy meal for the two of us. I sort of insisted on it. My wife can kind of take or leave steakhouses, but I really love them. So I was like, I really want to try this place. And I know with both the prices and the menu items, I'm not taking a family of six there. So
yeah, we'll get to you in a hurry.
Yeah. So I figured that was our only shot to try it out. And we really enjoyed it. We had a great server. I think his name was Oscar. And he was a lot of fun, just really enjoyable to talk to. The food was excellent. I think that was my favorite meal of the whole trip. I just got a nice New York strip steak. Again, that was based on Oscar's recommendation. He talked me into it.
Okay.
And I don't regret my choice. That was really good. Just a real nice atmosphere. It's a little quiet, a little fancier than what I'm used to, you know, being the burger guy, but,
right.
But I love a good steak and that was a really good steak. So that was an excellent meal. No complaints there.
Yeah. And a nice adult atmosphere for an adults only trip.
Yeah. Yeah. We did see a family come in, a family of four, and the little boy was probably about 6 or 7 years old and he was wearing a polo shirt with a jacket. And I thought, oh boy, I don't know if I could go that far.
Yeah, no, I'm a big fan of Yachtsman. I like it a lot. Actually, the one tip I can give you is when you're bringing the family, if you ever do go back and bring the family, they're one of the only places I've eaten that at a restaurant can do a porterhouse properly, right? Because a porterhouse is essentially two steaks connected in the middle, and most places get one half of it right. Okay. They actually get the whole thing right, and so it makes it perfect for sharing.
Ah, okay.
So I shared the porterhouse with my daughter, and it meant we were paying for one less meal. And the youngest one is ordering off the kids' menu anyway, so.
Gotcha.
Okay. And that worked well. But so glad that you enjoyed that meal. It's good stuff. And you take your time there, kind of make it a leisurely meal, or, you know, did you feel any time pressure to get back to Magic Kingdom for your fireworks?
No, not so much. I think once we got there and got there on time, I had made it for an earlier time, about 5 o'clock.
Oh, okay.
And I think our ride was at somewhere around 8 o'clock or so. So I figured I had plenty of time to get back.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was fine. We could take our time and enjoy the meal and not have to worry about it. And we didn't have to rush.
Good. All right. So, great dinner. You head back towards the Magic Kingdom. I assume you grabbed that bus at Beach Club again, back to Magic Kingdom.
Yep.
And what did you think of the, well, first of all, did you get back in time for parade as well, or just fireworks?
I think we could have seen the parade if we wanted to. I'm not a parade guy.
Okay.
I think I've told you this before, but I generally feel like the parades are there to distract other people from the rides. So,
right.
So I'll happily, you know, skip the parade so I can get on more rides. But we did do Thunder Mountain at night, and my wife did agree that it's actually better at night. I think her quote was, it feels more like a runaway train when you can't quite see where you're going. So,
right. Yeah, I agree. It's one of my favorite, you know, nighttime rides in terms of rides that are different at night than during the day.
Yeah. It's a great one. And again, we were glad we had the fast pass because the line was very long. So that was a good thing. And then I think we snuck in on the Little Mermaid ride just because there was no wait for that at all. Somehow with all the crowds, I guess people were lining up for the shows and the parades. So the back of the park started to trickle out.
Right. Yeah, it does that sometimes. And that ride, you know, it's an Omnimover ride. So it does tend to eat crowds pretty effectively.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and it's fine. It's a nice little ride. I like the little touch the Imagineers put in where they turn you backwards as you go underwater and hit you with a blast of air. I thought that was, you know, a nice little touch detail.
Right.
And after that, we were just kind of wandering through and then heading for the Fast Pass location for Wishes so we could see the show.
Right. Okay.
And that was pretty legit.
So what did you think of the Fast Pass experience for Wishes?
I'd say our experience was mixed.
Okay.
From what I had read online, it said that, you know, they have the special area that they built and you can get in 15 minutes before the show starts. And then they do a good job of making everybody sit down, so everybody has a view of the fireworks and the show, and it's not obstructed. So that was what I had read. When I got there, we got right in, you know, 15 minutes before the show, no problem. There was room. We got in. But I can't say they did a great job of making people sit down.
And that would get frustrating.
Yeah, especially about, you know, 2 minutes before the show starts, you get the rush of people coming in. And you get the people with the double strollers that want to park them right in front of you and then pick up the kids and hold them on their shoulders.
Hey.
So you still had that normal crowd experience that I wasn't expecting to have in the reserved area.
Right.
Which was a little, you know, irritating.
Justifiably so.
Yeah. So I was hoping they would do a better job of policing that than they actually did. They just kind of let people do what they wanted. And then I don't know who, what happened at the end of the show, but at the finale, I don't know if there's a package you can pay for from PhotoPass to have the photographer take pictures of your kids' reactions to the fireworks. But right at the end with the finale, all of a sudden this flashbulb starts going off right in my face. You know, and it's, talk about irritating.
Yeah.
This PhotoPass photographer is taking, just shooting photo after photo of this one family standing there watching the fireworks. And we're just sitting like, what is the deal with that?
That's crazy. That is not normal.
Yeah. So I had no idea what that was about, but yeah, that was irritating as well. The show itself is great. We love the fireworks over the castle, but some of the experience, they could use some work.
Sounds like it.
Yeah.
All right, all right, all right. So now, location-wise, though, what did you think of the location they're using for fireworks viewing?
Well, it's a fantastic location. You get a great view. I think the only negative with the view is there's a couple of permanent light poles that are up that don't come down during the show, so they're kind of silhouetted against the castle when you're trying to get your pictures.
Yeah.
Nothing you can really do about that.
No, so, yeah, I mean, do your best to dodge around them, but they're,
yeah,
they're there.
Yeah, yeah. It's, as far as that goes, it's still much better than the World of Color in Disneyland, which I'm not sure I'd want to go through that experience again. But yeah, it's a great viewing area.
The only thing about World of Color that gets me is that there's that you know, that stanchion of lights that has the hydraulic lifts, right? Mm. So it's not there when you choose your spot.
Yeah.
And then it just appears out of the ground and you're like, oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wasn't counting on that.
No, no. And I thought the lights were a lot more noticeable there. You know, yeah, they're in every picture. And the people with the kids on their shoulders in front of you, you know, they're in every picture too. But
all right, so any other sort of things like resort experiences or other, you know, Downtown Disney / Disney Springs stuff, anything like that that you checked out that we haven't talked about yet?
No, we, let's see, we couldn't get into Disney Springs. We had, we made it a priority instead to try and visit the different resorts and see the Christmas tree and gingerbread house displays there.
Right.
So we went around and tried to visit as many of them as we could. And that was a lot of fun. You know, each one has a different theme or a different decoration.
Right.
And our feeling was that's only up for Christmas time. So we might as well make the effort to see them.
Sure.
So we covered a lot of ground. I think it was at the beach club had the gingerbread merry-go-round operating in there. That was neat to see.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, Grand Floridian has the whole full gingerbread house. Animal Kingdom Lodge and Wilderness Lodge have really impressive trees. I think the Wilderness Lodge theme goes best with the holiday theme. It just seems to match up really well there. So we spent a lot of time doing that and seeing all the lights and decorations and really enjoyed that. I think with our room at the Polynesian, we're in the last room in the furthest building from the main lobby.
Okay.
Which I think is the Maria house. I can't remember. I think it's Maria. And so at first we thought, oh boy, we're going to have a long walk. But actually it turned out to be a really excellent location because it was right next to the transportation and ticket center. And we could just take a short walk and hop on the ferry and be at the Magic Kingdom really quickly.
Oh, nice.
And that worked out really well a couple of times in terms of avoiding crowds and moving around the parks. So it actually turned out to be an excellent location.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's I love those little sort of hidden bonuses that you don't think about that. Mm-hmm. I think that there was some intention, you know, behind the way they located those things, because it is a nice bonus because not only were you right by that, you know, boat launch, but being that close to the TTC also means you've got quick access to that Epcot monorail. Exactly. When you're headed that direction.
Yep. Yeah. And we tried to make use of that for our Epcot day. The only problem was the monorail was down that morning when we were trying to do it. So
oops.
Not much you can do there, but still the location was great for that.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So any last thoughts, anything I haven't asked you about that you would want to share?
The only other thing I can think of is our last day at Magic Kingdom, I actually found a cancellation at Be Our Guest for lunch, so we managed to get in there.
Oh, cool.
And we did not do the pre-ordering thing. We waited till we got there. And our primary goal there was just to see what it looked like inside, because I had heard, you know, the Imagineers did an amazing job with the detail, making it look like right. the movie. And that was absolutely true. I think the interior of that building was really top-notch. You know, it made you feel like you were in the Beast's castle. So, again, as far as the menu goes for lunch, I don't know that I'd really be in a hurry to grab a reservation there when there are other restaurants that you can go to that are really good. Because if you look at the menu for lunch there, it's basically glorified deli sandwiches.
All right. Well, that's a not unfair characterization.
I mean, it was fine. I had a hot ham and cheese sandwich, and it was fine. You know, hot ham and cheese sandwich. But yeah, it's not something that, you know, I would have run across the street for in terms of the food.
Right. Okay.
But very cool to see the inside of it. So I think it was worth doing once just to see the interior.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and I would echo that it's definitely worth it just if for nothing else, for that reason alone, because they really did do a beautiful job.
Yeah.
All right. So let's do our traditional kind of close stuff here and say, first of all, you know, looking back at this trip, you know, let's even say 4 or 5 years down the road, and when the kids turn to you and say, all right, so what was it about leaving us behind for this trip with you, you know, that you and Mom took without us? What about that trip made it worth it? What are the things that are going to stick out in your mind as being sort of the special things about this trip? One or two big things that made the big, or one or two things that stand out the most?
Well, I think for us, you know, it was just, it was a chance to be alone together, sure. Which as Mom and Dad, you don't get that too often.
Right.
And alone together in our favorite place.
Sure.
You know, where things are taken care of for you and you can actually have fun. You don't get to do that a whole lot. And that was one of the things I told my kids, you know, when we were talking about this trip was, you know, I told them, I was like, it's okay to be a little upset that we're leaving and going to Disney World without you. Cause we know you love it there and you know, you would want to go. I get that. That's understandable. What I told them was, you know, we've taken you a few times, so it's not like you're missing out on something you've never done before.
Right.
And B, I told him years from now, someday you're going to meet somebody that you really want to be with and enjoy their company. And you're going to want to go to Disney World with this person and without Mommy and Daddy there. And then you'll understand.
All right. There's an interesting way to put it. I can see that.
I don't know if that really, you know, made it better for them, but, you know, I think they will understand someday that one of the best things you can do in a marriage is make sure that Mom and Dad are alone together. Because if you don't work on your relationship and make sure that you're serving each other, loving each other, and still enjoy each other's company, then when all the kids are gone, what are you going to have left? So
absolutely.
I think you need those times.
Yeah.
And this was definitely worth it.
All right. And then I guess the next step in that perfectly segues into what advice do you have for other dads who are thinking about this kind of a trip, who, you know, are wondering, you know, how do I do this? How do I pull off the alone time trip, you know, with just the wife and I?
Well, the first step is deciding to do it. If you don't decide to do it, then it'll never happen.
right.
You know, and that's kind of a big step, because I think there's a lot of ways to talk yourself out of it. But you know, it's worth it. I think the kids will forgive you. we went through a lot of gift shops, and I think Disney World will be able to stay in business this year with
a little help from you, huh?
Yeah, yeah. We were just trying to buy our way back into our kids' hearts. So, but I think you know, you just decide if it's important to you, then you make time for it and you save up for it. It might not happen right away. We had to save for a while, and then we had to have a little bit of fortune come our way to make it happen.
Right.
But, you know, it's okay to spend the money, I guess, is one argument I would make, is that, you know, you save up for things, but you don't save forever. If you save up, you target things that you want to spend your money on, and then when you have enough, go ahead and spend it. Give yourself permission, because that's what you saved for.
Sure.
So, yeah. You know.
And I guess the only thing I would add is that it seems to me that it's easy to make excuses about, you know, well, we really want to stay at the Poly, and we, you know, it's going to take another couple of years to save up for the Poly, or, you know, we really want to do deluxe dining. And so we're gonna, you know what, sometimes do yourself a favor, step back and ask yourself, is that really what we need? And if it is, that's fine. Mm-hmm. But if what you really need is just the time to get away together, then maybe, you know, Port Orleans French Quarter is okay. Maybe All-Star Music is okay. You know, maybe dining out of pocket, because you're going to be engaged with each other's company in the parks anyway, and you can eat quick service. Mm-hmm. You know, don't let the ideal be the enemy of the good idea.
Oh, yeah. I 100% agree with that. I think we get ourselves into trouble a lot of times over not just, you know, vacations or Disney, but everything, and not being able to tell the difference between what we want and what we need. And they're not the same thing.
Yeah, yeah, very much so.
Another tip I can give you that helped us out was, we have a Disney Visa credit card, and we've been saving the Disney dollars from that for years.
Ah, okay.
And we ended up having, I finally cashed them in for this trip and took the rewards card with us, and we had about $500 loaded up on the card. So in essence, we basically gave ourselves free dining, because that paid for all of our meals.
Right, right.
In the parks. So that was, you know, it takes a few years to build that up. But if you're patient and willing to do it, then it pays off. And at the right time, again, then you give yourself permission to cash it in.
Right. Well, and you have to give yourself permission not to burn them along the way, saying that, you know, we'll use these for the family trip this time.
Right. Right. Set the goal and keep the goal in sight. You know, think long term.
Yeah. Well, those are great tips, Mark, and I really appreciate you coming on the show and talking to us about this trip. I think that there are a number of us who could do well to follow this model.
Well, thanks. It was a great time. The only thing I'll say is, like any trip, it goes by way too quickly, and we were back in the real world soon enough, and I think less than a week later, we were looking at ourselves like, did we even do that? That feels like it was ages ago.
That's because it felt like you were single again, or not single, childless again.
Yeah. Yeah. It's amazing. You forget how much freedom you have as an adult with no kids, that you lose. And then you miss it so badly.
All right. Well, I look forward to hearing about the next one, that maybe the kids will get a turn. But you know, I do appreciate this one, because like I said, I think a lot of us could learn from this one. So thanks again.
Sure. Thank you.
One little spark of inspiration is at the heart of all creation, right at the start of everything that's new. One little spark lights up for you. Oh, hello there. So glad you could come along. I am the Dream Finder. Musical notes, what delightful melodies those will make. I love these flights of fancy, searching the countryside for sounds, colors, ideas, anything that sparks the imagination. A sunbeam, that's a good one. Everything that I can collect can inspire amazing and marvelous new ideas. And you never know what kind of figment you may come up with. Here's my favorite. Two tiny wings, eyes big and yellow. Horns of a steer, but a lovable fella. From head to tail, he's royal. Imagination.